the previous speaker in thanking the organizer and the Field Institute for the invitation to present this papers, which is based on some papers joined with Sara Biagini from University of Perugia. Now she graduated in March at the Scuola Normale Superiore of Pisa. And as you see, the topic is quite classical topic, is utility maximization from terminal wells. And so, just to fix some notation, this is the problem which we are interested in. Is as you see, a classical maximization problem. Now U is an increasing strictly concave utility, and differentiable, X will be our initial wealth, and T is the time horizon, and the process X, so the process X is a semi-martingale, which is a vector-valued process, so it represents the price of the assets. So these are already discounted prices. And the class H will be the class over which we are taking the, we are optimizing the problem. So this is the stochastic integral of H with respect to the semi-martingale X. And of course, this class is always contained in the class of predictable and integrable stochastic processes. Okay, so this is the problem, and which are the main novelties of this paper is, are the following. The process X is not assumed to be locally bounded, okay, as in previous literature. And in order to deal with this possibility, we have to develop a new concept of admissibility, which we will come back on this. So essentially the stochastic integral, this is the stochastic integral, has to be bounded from below by a random variable W. Moreover, we are considering a unified treatment of two cases, which usually are treated in different ways when the utility is finite valued only on the positive real lines, or when it is always finite valued, like in this case. And we are able to solve this problem using a compatibility condition which is written here. There must exist some alpha such that this condition holds. We will come back, okay? And this is a condition on the losses W. But if we use this compatibility condition, the problem is that the dual variables in the utility maximization problem, since we will use convex duality, the dual variables are not going to be probability measures, but they are going to be only finitary measures, finitary additive measures. And the idea, the message is that if you allow big losses in the sense that the stochastic integral can be unbounded from below, as I will explain, then you will have some charges instead of probability measures, so element in BA. So let's first consider a classical definition of admissible trading strategies. Okay, so a trading strategy H is admissible if, of course, it is predictable, X integrable, as I said, and satisfies this condition. So you see the bound on the stochastic integral is given by this constant 1. So there exists some C, some constant C, for which this holds. So I will call this one admissible strategies. In the, as we will see in the next slide, if the stochastic process X is not locally bounded, it can happen that we have no H which satisfies this condition. So the class H1 of one admissible training strategy is zero. So we need to take a larger set, a larger class of trading strategies. And this is the example. So we have a really simple example, one period process. So we start at zero, and at time one, we have a Gaussian random variable. So the price process is the most simple you can think of. And if you select as H this class, okay, all predictable and X integrable, since we assume that the initial filtration is the trigger one, this is simply the real number. All constant are admissible integrand. So in this case, the stochastic integral is simply the constant H times the random variable X1. Okay, of course, this is never bounded from below, unless H is zero. So this class is the trigger one, is reduced to the zero element. If you are you consider utility maximization over this class is simply zero, so you get this. But of course, if you take the larger class, H now is R, so R constant are admitted in, when you, in this optimization problem, you get this, which is strictly greater than what you get here. Okay. So, moreover, the maximizer in this simple problem is given here. This is the constant which maximizes this problem, this simple number, which is not in H1, because in H1 you have only zero. Okay. So, even in this very, very simple problem, the traditional class H1, this one, is not suitable. And another motivation and some references is the following. Okay, why we are interested in utility maximization? Well, of course, it is interesting also the per se, but because we have other interesting topics like indifferent prices or convex risk measure in financial market, which are linked to this utility maximization and the duality relation which follows from utility maximization. Just to make clear what I mean with indifference price is the following. If you have C, which is the claim, for example, C is a random variable which is in L infinite, then you can define U of C. It is defined as the supremum of the expected utility of your claim C plus all what you get by investing in the trading strategy H. So you take the supremum over all trading strategies in some class H, okay? With this definition, Hodges and Neuberger in 89 defined the following buyer indifference price, which is P of B of X. How is defined? Is the solution of the following problem. This function U is computed over the initial worth x con zero plus what you buy, if you buy the claim C, minus what you pay for this, this is the buyer price of the claim C, minus what you pay, and this is the solution of the following equation of the optimal utility when you do nothing, okay, from your initial worth. So either you buy C and you pay this amount of money, or you do nothing. So this is the solution, the buyer indifference price is the solution of this equation. This was introduced in this paper in the context of the Brackenshaw market, but with some constraint in the trading strategy, so the market was indeed incomplete, and so they used indifferent price in order to find the price of this claim. And in one of my paper, I showed that in general, incomplete market model with locally bounded semi-martingales with many different assets, you could, using the duality relation, you could find a different and explicit some sense formulation for the buyer indifference price solving these two utility maximization problems. And so you can see that this buyer indifference price can be written in the following form. These are two optimization problems. By duality, you have two infimum problems, the two minimization problems, and this is indeed the infimum of the expected of the claim C, plus, okay, suppose that you are taking as the utility the exponential utility. So here you will have the dual, the conjugate function, so you have the relative entropy, minus the infimum of the relative entropy. Now these two infimum are taken on the dual variable, okay? Here we are maximizing on trading strategies. Here we are taking the infimum over probability measure, which are, if X is locally bounded, these are local Martinger measure. So this is the set of all local Martinger measure. Okay. So this is the dual formulation of the indifference price, and the link with convex risk measure is very simple, because if you define rho of C as, by definition, minus the buyer indifference price, then you have simply to compute this minus. This is simply equal to the supremum. You have a minus here, so you have the expectation under cut of minus C, minus a function of Q. This function is simply the relative entropy minus this constant here. Okay? If you define as F what is in here, then you have exactly this quantity. So this is always the supremum over the set of local Martinger measure. So if you know what are the convex risk measure are exactly, the representation of convex risk measure is exactly this one, where F is the penalization term. Okay? So as you see, in order to treat this and to consider so these other topics, you have to solve and are able to use this duality relation. And in some paper, where of course utility maximization in continuous time started with a paper by Merton, in the case where the utility function are a finite value on the positive real line, this has been solved in the paper by Kramkow, Schachermeier, and Zvitanich with general semi-martingales. In these other papers by Delban and Kabanov, and the one of Schachermeier, they treat utility function like the exponential one, which are finite varied everywhere, but they assume that X, the semi-Martinger, is locally bounded. And in what I present here is the generalization of these to non-necessarily locally bounded, so you can consider all those problems, indifference price, convex risk measure with, for example, Levy process or jump diffusion process, which are not necessarily locally bounded, and many financial models in these days consider this type of processes. So we go back to the presentation. This was the second motivation, and now we start with a definition of admissible trading strategies, which depends on this function of this random variable W, which can be interpreted as a gauge function. It is something which is larger than one, okay, but can be possibly unbounded from above. So H is going to be W admissible if this condition holds. Okay, so the stochastic, there must exist a constancy such that the stochastic integral is larger than minus C times this random variable W, which is interpreted as the loss, the loss which are admitted in trading. This is the gain, okay? The stochastic integral here represents the gain from X are prices, H are trading strategies. So this is the gain. You always have to be larger than some constant times minus W. So it can be unbounded from below because this random variable is possibly unbounded from above. Okay, so the idea is accepting a greater risk will increase the expected utility. So we need some assumption on this function, and the first one is that W is suitable. Before the definition, we can see this proposition. Okay, this proposition says that if X is locally bounded, then 1 is suitable. This means that in the standard case, or the case considered in the literature, this assumption it was not needed, because instead of W, we could take always 1. But in the general case, we needed this assumption, because 1 is not always suitable. And the idea is quite is simple. W has to be sufficiently big. What do I mean is that there should be a non-zero trading strategies, okay, which satisfies this condition, so H shouldn't be always equal to zero, such that the stochastic integral is bounded. So we need this bound, so W has to be sufficiently large in order to have this bound with non-trivial H. So as I said, it is reasonable this condition given this proposition. Okay, 1 always satisfies this assumption, this definition, if X is locally bounded. And then the key property is the following, that this random variable W has to be compatible with the utility. What do I mean is written here, the definition, there must exist a constant alpha such that the expected utility of this quantity is never equal to minus infinity, so that the expected utility of the losses is never equal to minus infinity. And if you take the supremum of those alpha, which satisfy this condition, this is exactly the definition that we will need afterwards. Alpha of to the W is given in this way, okay, is the maximum of those alpha which satisfy this condition. Okay. So in the case of the exponential utility function, this is nothing else than Cramer condition. Okay, since this is non-negative, it actually is greater than 1, this condition is satisfied if and only if this is satisfied. Okay. So we have to keep in mind now this set, script W and script W to the infinity. This is the set of those loss random variable which satisfies these two conditions. W is compatible and is suitable. This will be denoted with this set. When the condition holds, this condition holds not for some alpha, but for all alpha, so alpha W is equal to plus infinity, so holds for all positive number, then we will denote with the script infinity. Just a remark again, because this is an important point. We could consider these three conditions on W. Okay. Now, this number two is that this holds for all alpha, so it is exactly equivalent to the fact that this condition is equal to infinity. Number three is what I just said in the definition, that this number is greater than zero, and clearly 1 implies 2 and implies 3. Okay, so the strongest condition, 1, if we require W to be bounded, then it is exactly equivalent as taking as W 1. Okay, so we go back exactly to the set, to the classical set of trading strategies. Now, this weaker condition, number 2, was studied in one paper, and gives very nice results, so is a stronger condition than number 3, but of course being stronger gives uniformity results in the sense that all what I will say will not depend on the specific loss random variable, will depend only on this set, but not on which W I take. And of course the dual, not of course, and the second fact is that the dual variables are probability measures. So in the duality, we will get probability measure. But if we take only the weakest condition, number 3, we have these two are not anymore satisfied, and the dual variable will only be finitely additive. So now, to make things more precise, what are the assumptions on the utility function? These are classical standard assumptions. U is increasing, so it's concave, differentiable. The effective domain is denoted by I, and these are the standard Einada condition. And without any loss of generality, as the effective domain, we can take the whole real line or the positive semi-axis. Okay, and then we have these two conditions, which were introduced by Schacher-Meyer or Kramkow-Schacher-Meyer in this case. And these are needed even in the locally bounded case. So, of course, they are needed also in the unbounded, in the possibly not locally bounded case. Okay? And, in fact, as I said here. So these are the assumptions on the utility. The second assumption, of course, is that there exists one loss random variable. Okay? At least we need this condition. And as I said, if X is locally bounded, I can always take 1. This is a repetition of something I already said. And so this is automatically satisfied. In general, even if X is not locally bounded, but if we are in this case, now it is easy to see that this assumption, the fact that there exists one compatible and suitable random variable, implies already this fact that the initial worth is positive, of course. I mean, the utility is only finite on this set, and that W is already bounded. Okay, this is explaining this implication here. When this is greater than minus infinity, if the utility is always equal to minus infinity for negative number, of course, the argument here has to be greater or equal to zero. And this condition means that X has to be greater than zero, and that W has to be bounded. Because if W is not bounded, alpha is just a number, these are numbers, this is a random variable, you will not have almost surely this property. Okay? So in this case, when the utility function are defined here, we can always take as W1 and this are the set, classical set of trading strategy. Now we pass to the dual variable, because we will use convex duality. So we need, of course, this is the convex conjugate of the utility function. Okay, this is the conjugate, which is denoted by phi. And the P phi is all a random variable having finite entropy. If this random variable is the density of a probability measure, absolutely continuous with respect to P, then exactly Q has finite entropy if phi is the if U is the exponential utility. This is exactly the relative entropy, otherwise is a generalized entropy, let's say. Okay, so this is important, okay, the set of those Q such that the entropy is finite. And then we have to consider a general class of probability measure, not anymore Martinger measure, not local Martinger measure, but sigma Martinger probability measure, which is defined here, M sigma, those probability such that X, the stochastic process representing prices, are sigma Martinger. Okay, this notion was introduced, was studied by Emery and was introduced in mathematical finance in 97 by Delban, Schacher-Meyer, and Kramkow in the context of no arbitrage theory, and essentially says that X is a sigma Martinger if each component of X can be written as a stochastic integral with respect to a Martinger n. Okay? This is the idea, but essentially, since we are using non-locally bounded X, okay, we have to recall that M sigma replaces the set of pricing measure which we are used to treat to use when we consider a locally bounded process. Okay, this is a simple lemma which states the following. Now, this index here is simply because all this set of probability measures state that W is integrable. Okay, so I don't repeat it. And M sigma, this set is simply the set of sigma Martinger measure. This is the set of super Martinger measure, for which this process, this stochastic entry, is a super Martinger. And MT is the power, essentially, of the gains, that achievable gains. So this is the definition. It's less than zero for all age here. Okay, and then, of course, this condition is satisfied. Under our assumption, okay, W is compatible and suitable, all these three coincide, and what is important for the part of what we will say later is that this set, which a priori depends on this random variable, is indeed independent, because when you, in some sense, a measure here already integrates W, okay? And so, as you see, this will be the relevant set of the dual variable. This will be the pricing measures here, and are not anymore dependent on which W I take in this set. Okay, this holds only under this condition, but I will come to this. So, now I have to consider in the general case, because I don't want to make differences between utility function of the type of the logarithm of the type of the exponential, because you want to treat them in the in a unifying framework. So what are the dual variables? Okay, we will use this duality, dual system, and so we start with admissible trading strategies. We construct KW, which are all gains, stochastic integral, from admissible trading strategy. Okay, we could only consider this set, but it's better to consider CW, this is classical in the theory of no arbitrage, and this C is simply all those bounded random variable which dominates a claim which is replicable, achievable in this sense, okay? And this is important because we want to construct this theory, so we pass from this set to a bounded, a subset of L infinite, a cone here. And
is that inequality factor?
Yes. If F is in this set, F is less than, yes, sorry, yes, F is less than K, yes, because you subtract this quantity, yes. And, okay, and so we start by taking the supremum over, over this set, okay, but this, of course, you multiply K by W, so you divide by W, this is a triviality here, the same, so we are taking the supremum over this set by Fatou is the same as taking the supremum over this set over which are bounded function. So we want to solve this problem. This will be our starting point, the supremum over a cone in L infinity, and we will use this duality, and so the infimum using convex duality will be on the polar of this set. Okay, so this is where dual variables come from, because we are taking the polar of this set, but the polar with this duality, and so this is exactly the notation, zeta w is the polar of C, which is defined here, all zeta in BA, which satisfies this condition. It's very easy to show that you can also state in with this condition with respect to element in K. So this is the condition that the dual variable has to satisfy. Now, zeta r and zeta s are simply the regular or the singular part of zeta in the decomposition of Yoshida Hewitt, okay, the absolutely continuous part or the singular part. So, having said this, this is formally, and can we interpret this dual variable as pricing operator? Okay, which is the meaning of these dual variables, and the intuition is very simple. After a normalization, okay, if you have a if you have a dual variable which has no singular component, so so, which is absolutely continuous, then it is exactly a sigma-Martinger measure. Okay? So, define this as the set of true measures, which can be empty a priori, okay, and can be empty, also posteriori, if this, with this notation, so you take only the regular part, not the regular part, those elements in zeta which have no singular part. Okay? Okay, then this set is exactly the set M sigma W, so the set of sigma Martinger measure, except a normalization. Here you have only to divide zeta by a normalization. So just essentially exactly the same. So this is the interpretation of this set. But in general, we will have a dual singular component. So, the result. This is a summary of the result, and then I will be more precise on this result. With all this definition and this setup, in this generality, we have existence, and we give some property of the optional solution to both problems, the primal problem and the dual problem, in general, when X is a semi-Martinger. We are using, because the same class of admissible integrand, the same class of dual variable for both kind of utility. Now, in this case, we simply recover known result, which can be compared with a paper by Svitanic, Schachermeier, and Wang, because here they already used general semi-Martinger dealing with in this case. Now, in the case where the utility are like the exponential utility, we have to distinguish. Okay, so we have the case where alpha w is equal to plus infinity. This means that the compatibility condition holds for all constant alpha. Okay, then what we have is that there is no singular component. So the optimal measure, which is the solution of the dual problem, has no singular component. Then we have uniformity with respect to each random variable, W, each loss random variable. And also we have a super-Martinger property, which I come back, of the optimal Weff process. So these are the three results using general semi-Martinger under this condition. Instead, if we take the weaker condition, which is simply this one, we only, well, we have the one general theorem, but there are only sufficient conditions. We give only one sufficient condition for the optimal dual variable to have no singular part, but we have example which really shows that this holds. And as I say, this has nothing to do with random endowment, in the sense that our problem is the one very simple which I started from the very beginning. X0 is our initial wealth, and I simply take the utility maximization from terminal wealth. Okay. So now we can state, this is a very simple result in the sense that it's based on well-known theorem, and so this is the standing assumption, which is always assumed, and it's clearly we have to assume that you recall what is this number. This is the optimal value of the optimal function. Okay, so this is our utility maximization from all this class of admissible trading strategy, depending on the X is initial wealth. So this quantity has to be less than the utility at plus infinity. Okay? For example, in the case of exponential utility, would be zero. Okay, under this assumption, this all this equality, we already seen them. So this is our problem. We take the supremum, and then this is the duality formulation. In this formulation is simply an application of Rockefeller theorem. So these are the standard part, and these are the singular part. You see, zeta s appears only here, is the singular part of those elements here. And we can show, given this condition, that the minimum is reached by an element having regular part, non-trivial regular part, and how is the definition, what is the definition of this singular term? So, first, this is an important object that we will consider also later on. This is the effective domain of the integral function. Okay, so that we have expected utility of x plus fw. This is what we find here. Okay, so it's larger than minus infinity, so it's the effective domain. And now g is simply the supremum of this linear term, because zeta s is simply the singular component of our element here. And we take the supremum over this convex set. Okay, and in general, this is not zero. Okay, we still need to define a different, but simple in some sense, set. Instead of minimizing over zeta, we will minimize over another object. Okay, first we simply normalize. This simply we divide element here by a number. So this is not important, but you see we normalize in this way. Only the regular component. This is useful for presentation. Okay. And so we pass from an element here to Q, and the element of this form are element in this set. So are all probability for which this holds. So the regular has mass 1 now. The regular component, if you evaluate omega over here, is 1, because we divide here exactly by the same. And then you see this is the polarity condition that holds. Now, if we rewrite the previous statement, okay, you see here, we have the minimum of these three terms. If we change with this normalization, we end up with this simpler form. This is the dual problem. The minimum of a lambda of an element Q in this M, and these are the three terms. So, since we know that this has to be finite, this is given by the duality Fenker theorem, then we can define those elements in this set for which this quantity is finite and this quantity is finite. So these two must be finite and are written here. P phi exactly meaning that this is finite. The fact that lambda is here is not important because this is where the condition of reasonable asymptotic elasticity comes in the sense that if this is finite for lambda equal to 1, then it's finite for all lambda. This is the technical point where the reasonable asymptotic elasticity comes into play. So this is simply those elements satisfy this condition for which these two quantities are finite. And so this is the main result for all utility functions. But before stating the result, let me come back. The point here, why is the first simple result? Because I only state that there is no gap between the supremum and the minimum, but I am not saying that we catch the supremum, that this is a maximum. Okay, here I don't say that there exists an optimal solution. Okay, I only say that there is no duality gap between the two problems. And to get the supremum here, we need some more work, and this is the statement. Okay, first we define a larger set. So instead of considering only those trading strategies in this set, we consider a larger set, which is defined in this way. For all pricing measure, let's say those measure in this set, which it was just defined, the price or the expectation of a claim is less than this singular part. So this is the new part, okay, which is not nice, but it is what the mathematics tells us. Okay, this you have to take this condition to hold. And then, okay, under this standing normal assumption, this set is not empty. This is the first thesis of this theorem. Then the second thesis, the optimal solution, there exists the optimal solution of this problem. in this larger set, and you have the explicit, well, not explicit, you have this formula for the optimal solution, where only the regular component of Q star is the solution of the dual problem which comes here. So the supremum over the old set of trading strategies is equal to the supremum over this new set, and the duality holds, and also you have this condition. So we have enlarged the set, but the maximum is the same, and we did this in order to catch the optimal solution. The optimal solution only exists in this larger set, which it was defined before. Now we can consider the three cases in the time that I have left. Okay, the three cases are the following. This kind of utility, well, this one is not here, okay, so you have to cancel this one. And in this case, okay, as I said, we can take this condition. Then the second case, type exponential utility with this condition, or the third case, which is the most problematic one. So the first case, I don't have time, so just we can say we recover known result, okay? We simply apply, we simply check, and everything is as it should be. Now, the second case is more interesting, so it's this one. And now, what does it mean, this second case? It means that this condition, the compatibility condition, holds for all alpha. So this is what it says. This is not only for some alpha, but for all alpha. Therefore, recall this was the effective domain of the integral functional. So for all f here is bounded, okay, so can be very negative, but even if it is very negative, this condition holds for all constant alpha, so it is clear that the effective domain here are all elements satisfies this condition. So the effective domain is simply L infinity. Now, G, the singular part, was the supremum of a linear functional of this convex set, which in this case is a linear space, so it's always plus infinity. You think the supremum over L infinity of a linear functional is always plus infinity, except, of course, when this QS is zero. So, GQ star has to be, since the optimal solution is such that this is finite. It is finite only if QS is zero, so the optimal solution satisfies this condition. No singular part. This is a true probability. So the regular part is one of the whole space, so it is a true probability. And this set, which was the dual variable set, is exactly this one, the set of Sigma-Martinger measure having finite entropy here. And the set which was the strange set, KG phi, is simply zero because instead of G you can put zero. And now it is clear what it means. All claims such that the price of the claims is less than or equal to zero. So we are maximizing over this set, but in this case it's simply this set. We are maximizing the expected utility over all claims such that its price is non-positive. And you see, this doesn't depend on W, so also the F, the optimal solution, doesn't depend on W. And here is the statement of the theorem in this case. So in the case, so here's the summary of what we just said. This is not empty. The optimal wealth, does not depend on W. You have the duality formula over this set of dual minimizers. There exists an optimal solution in this set, so there exists fx, and of course the optimal value over the larger set of trading strategy or the classical one is exactly the same. If this lambda x, qx are the optimal in this problem, then the solution fx and qx satisfy this condition, which is well known. These are well known facts, but it has to be proven for this general context. Now, there are two other interesting properties here, non-trivial. Fx, which is the optimal solution, admits a representation in terms of stochastic integral. So it is a stochastic integral with respect to some trading strategy, but Hx is not necessary in our space. So I'm not stating that the optimal belongs to, I don't know this, but what we know is that it is Fx, it is a stochastic integral, and in particular is an integral Martinger with respect to Q. And we have also the super Martinger property of this optimal Wirth process. This, of course, is the optimal Wirth process. What is the super Martinger property? Is that this optimal Wirth process is a super Martinger for all pricing measure. Okay. And then we have other properties which are standard one relating the dual U and V, which is defined here, is simply the value function of the dual problem. So this for the second case, but let me say one word about why we have to take a larger set, because we have example where things doesn't work as it should be, in the sense that we have an example of an arbitrage free market where the set of loss variable is not empty. This standing condition is satisfied, but this is the problem. For any W, this problem has no solution in this set. So we have to take a larger set. Okay? So the domain, this domain is larger, and in general this happens, but of course the two supremum are always equal. So for the super Martinger property, this has a long history. It is related to the six authors paper, Derben, Stricker, Schweitzer, Reichlander, Samperi, and Grandis. Okay, they prove that in the case of exponential utility, the optimal Wirth process is a true Martinger under some condition which was removed in another paper, and Schachermeier proved that the optimal Wirth process is a super Martinger instead of a Martinger if you use a general utility function. So for general utility, the true Martinger property is lost. But all this was proved under the assumption that X was locally bounded. So what we did is that to prove exactly this property here, holds also for unbounded semi-Martinger. Okay? So now, instead of going to the third case, I think I don't have too much time, I think it's better to give these two examples. Why we are interested and to finish the motivation for this research. Okay, so consider this is the classical, which was already presented before, Merton problem. Well, this is in an even simpler context of maximization of terminal wealth, okay, exponential utility. This is the stochastic process. It is continuous, so it is locally bounded, so everything, our assumptions are satisfied. Indeed, we can take as W1, okay? So we know by our theorem that even if we take any other W here, we will have this condition, because as I said, one result of our theorem was that this optimal wealth does not depend on W, okay? And however, this is well-known solution of this problem. You are maximizing over the classical set, and this is the optimal Wirth, and the function, which is is the maximizer here, so it's optimal in some sense. However, it's not bounded from below, you see, because zeta t is the Brownian motion, so it's not in this set. So even if you want to solve the classical problem, if you take the classical set of H1 trading admissible strategy, you don't find the existence of the optimal solution in this set. So you have to take a larger class You define W prime as a little bit greater than 1, okay? And so you show that this is okay, and the optimal solution belongs exactly to this set, and here is. And so this example shows that you can take a larger set of trading strategies. You don't increase the optimal solution, but you show that you don't increase the optimal weight, but you show that the optimal solution belongs to this set. So it is a simple proof that even in the locally bounded case, you can use this theory because it allows you to catch the optimal solution. But let's see a non-locally bounded case. Very, very simple, always exponential utility. The price process consists in one jump of size V at the stopping time tau, and we assume V and tau to be independent. V is a Gaussian random variable. So one jump, it jumps of this size V. Okay? So here we have zero as the set of classical admissible trading strategies. So when you optimize, you simply get here because you are optimizing over zero. So this is zero and this is. And indeed, in this case, the constant one is not suitable, so one does not belong to this set. So you have to take a different one, a different loss random variable, which we select as this way. We show that belongs to this set, and then we have the following. This is not empty, and the supremum is equal to the minimum, so the duality holds, but there exists the optimal solution. This optimal solution belongs to this set of larger gains, okay, because it depends on W prime, and as we see, the maximum expected utility, this can be computed, is this one, and it is strictly larger than what you had before. Of course, you are taking a larger set, okay? So, as I said, you take, this is, can be useful, you accept greater risk because your trading strategies are bounded only by a random variable, not by one, but you are able to increase your utility, and the same can be done with more general processes. Of course, this was just to fix the idea on how you proceed, but, well, I think I don't have too much time for this, okay, so just say that there are some sufficient conditions under which the optimal probability measure has singular component zero, and however we give some example where the optimal solution, even though it can be expressed as in terms only on the regular part, however G is not zero but it is greater than zero, so in general the third case means that under this weak condition, we cannot expect not to have to have no singular component in the dual variable. But the part of the theorem holds, and we only are able to give some sufficient condition for which there are no singular component. Okay, thank you.